Well, good morning. Welcome to LifePoint Church. Are you glad to be here yet? Good. Hey, I'm just going to tell you now, today is going to be a very exciting day for me, and I want you to just get excited with me, all right? So everybody say, yes. I'm excited. Just pretend, all right? Just do it if you have to. It is an exciting day. I'm going to cast a lot of vision, share some dreams that I've had about this church for a long time. Some of the things I've held very close to the chest for a long time, but I feel like God has put us in a place where we can start looking down the road at some major risky changes and moves for his kingdom. Amen? Well, I'm lead pastor here, and what an honor it is to be with you today. If you're a guest, as always, we say welcome to you. Like Lolita said, please join us on our website, lifepointclarksville.com. Hey, if we can, let's give a shout out to our online crowd at St. Patty's Day. So let's all just say, top of the morning to you. That worked really well. Thank you for that. If you're part of our online family, welcome. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Make sure to connect to all of the site and stay in touch with us as well. Today is the final week in our Impact series. This has been a real blessing to me, and it's actually an exciting day. It's the day of the year that we present our financial information and business meeting to you. Now, let me say, if you're a guest today, you think, oh man, I'm checking out. This is the wrong day for me to come. Look, I am so glad that you're here. I love going to a new place and learning all that I can about it right up front. And so today is a great day to be a guest. I've always led our church with a policy of openness regarding the business of our church. I've got nothing to hide. It's our church, right? So for the business meeting today, we get to do that every year as a 501c3, as a nonprofit organization. We get to present that. And I think it's great to have you with us today to look at what's happened here and also to hear my heart as pastor about where we're going. So please, if you're a guest, don't feel like you came on an off Sunday. This church wants to have transparency and not private meetings for members only. But if you have a members only jacket, you're welcome to wear that today. Proud of you, Dad. And I want to shout from the rooftops today, the big dreams. I can't get on the rooftop. I'll slide off and break my face. But I want to shout loud about the things that I believe God has for us as a church. So if you're here as a guest, or if you're a long timer, this information is for you no matter how long you've been here. All right? Just so you know, next Sunday, we're starting a four-week series that's it's meant to encourage you and to bless you and to uplift you. It's a series called This Is For You, and it's a series on God's promises for you as a believer. How many of you know if God says he's going to do something, I don't think he's a liar. Good. Well, one of my great joys, make sure you have this, we'll go through that in just a moment. One of my great joys as a pastor is to be the primary visionary for our church. That is, I love to dream big and figure out where God is taking us. I'll be honest with you, there have been many times I've sat in this room all by myself. Sometimes the light's on, sometimes the light's off, and I just go, God, what are you doing here? Where are we going? And then I start dreaming about outer space and places that we're going. As a church, there's a ship out back. We're going to all get on it. But I love to dream big. In fact, my wife is the perfect compliment to me because she'll say, you dream, and I'll help you know that it's not a realistic. Or she'll put like structure to my dreams. And so any other couples like that? We got a dreamer and a realistic person? Yeah. Well, so I dream big for our team. And then we have team members that are like, that's not going to be possible. So anyway, I just love to dream big. And I also get to take time today to tell our story. And I try to do this at least once a year or so. But to tell our story, not just for where we've been, but how many of you know that we can see the Lord's hand of faithfulness and blessing in what he's done here in your church? Can anybody agree with me that God has done some great things here?
Amen.
Well, this is a kind of a foundational verse for this talk today, and I want you to turn your Bible to Habakkuk chapter 2, and if you've been around church world very long, you've heard this verse before. God is speaking to his people, and through the prophet Habakkuk, he says this in chapter 2, verse 2, he says this, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. Now, I love the simplicity of this command. I love the thing that God tells the leaders of his people. He says, write your vision down. Any of you ever been a part of an organization where you wonder, where in the world are we going? Nobody's talking about why we're doing what we're doing, where we're going. I have no clue what my purpose is here in this organization. Well, the Lord said to Habakkuk, write it down and make it plain so that the person on the run can see it, grab it, internalize it, and go with it. So my hope for you is that our mission would be simple, that it's straightforward, that you should be able to hear it today, write it down today, internalize it, and that this would be our mission as a church. Now listen, here's what Jesus said. Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, we have the Great Commission of Jesus. The final words of Christ before he ascends into heaven, and he says this: "Go into all nations." Now he's talking to his followers. And we said last week, if you're a follower of Jesus, we got to do what he says. He says, go into all nations, making disciples of all people. Now, notice he said, your mission is to go everywhere and tell everyone about following me. He said, go into all nations, making disciples of all people, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why do we baptize in the name of the Trinity? Because Jesus said to, and what does that do? It brings those outside into the family. So he said, go everywhere, tell everyone about me and to follow me and baptize them, bring them into the family. And then he said, teaching them to observe everything I've taught you. So that's discipleship and training. So our mission as a church is very simple, and it comes straight from the words of Jesus. And our mission is this: to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if you're a non-believer or an old believer, new believer, a questioning believer, our mission is the same. And it's simple, and it's been this way forever. Our mission is to lead people on their journey of following Jesus. Now, make it plain, write it down, make it plain so that you who read it and hear it can run with it. So our mission is to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. And listen, that whole mission is about one thing. It's about impact. That's why we do what we do, to see lives changed here and around the world. So I want to start a little bit with our story, and I won't take a ton of time there because thank God the rearview mirror is getting a lot smaller, right? There's been a lot of negative in our past, but God's done so much good. It's almost like, man, let's just look at our past and go, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing us through that. But our church started in March 2005. And it was Cornerstone Worship Center. And since January of 2011, we've been LifePoint Church. And we've had one mission. And it's to lead people to be fully devoted followers of Jesus. In fact, hey, I wanted to let you know I'm wearing my announcement sweater. I was running out of clothing options for this week. And I thought, I saw this in the top of the closet. And I grabbed it, hoping there wasn't a brown recluse inside a sleeve. And we're almost out of sweater weather. So I got to get one more good Sunday in. But this is the sweater that I wore the day that I announced our name change, and from Cornerstone to LifePoint Church. And so I realized, hey, this is Announcement Sunday, sweater day, red sweater day, all right? It's very St. Patrick's Day-esque as well. But where we've been is really a story of God's impact. So we started in March 2005, and in January 2011, LifePoint Church became our name and our identity, and we've had one mission given by Jesus himself to lead people in their devotion to Christ. That is a statement birthed right out of that commission, to make followers of Jesus, of people not only here but around the world, and to do what we can to see lives changed. Our motto is simply stated, we're all about changed lives, but that's birthed out of our mission to lead people to devotion to Jesus. How many of you know if you start following Christ, he'll change your life? Now, it's been an amazing journey of trying to obey the command of Jesus, and he has proven to change lives as we focus on that. It's funny, some of you guys that have been along for the long journey, you remember days of real struggle and need. I mean, golly, I remember one board member said when they hired me, or he was a former board member, he goes, we brought you in to bring us down in a blaze of glory. I'm going, I don't know that I want to move my family here for that. There were days on Sundays when this church had 25 people in it, in this building, brand new, huge debt and everything else. And there were just really difficult times and days of lack and $15,000 to $18,000 behind. And God has taken us from a place of great need and great lack to now being one of the fastest growing churches in our fellowship in the whole United States. We're one of the largest Assemblies of God churches now in the state of Tennessee. And I get to hear all the time from people in our own town who have been blessed by all that God is doing here. You know, it's funny to hear the story as it evolves the longer I've been here. When I first came, it was, what do you do? I work at the church out on Exit 8. And they're like, ooh, you guys doing okay over there? And now I say, I'm the pastor of LifePoint Church. Are you guys the ones by Farmington? Are you the ones with the soccer field out there? Are you the ones that are doing these huge Halloween events? Are you guys the ones that are growing like crazy? I took my daughter to her doctor's appointment last week to get her 5-year-old wellness check. And the pediatrician says to me, You know, I've had a couple pastors sitting in here talking to me about churches, and they all talk about Life Point Church as the fastest growing church in Montgomery County. I go, why are you talking like that in the doctor? You know, bend over, let me give you a shot. So, what's going on? I love the story that God's writing here. And look, you guys, look, here's one of the joys and the tensions that we have. Like, you look around in one service, and we think, you know, we're a church of a few hundred. But the truth is, we're a church of 1,000 now. And we have four services that come together, never all at one time, but we're a large church that's making a great impact in a community. God has been consistently making an impact through Life Point Church, even doubling our reach and our size every year since 2010. I remember when I came in 2010, we had 85 or 90 people here. By the next summer, we had over doubled that. By the next summer, we had doubled again. And then last year in 2013, we actually doubled. We over doubled within a 12-month period in our Sunday attendance. We started the year with two services and three services in January, and by September, we had to go to four. Let me just show you a quick graphic of our growth over the last year alone. Now, you see, we started the year in the low to mid fives, and these are monthly averages, by the way. These aren't Sunday spikes. Some of our highest Sundays were in the mid 900s in the fall. By the way, this shows you summertime. You guys check out of here. Like, y'all are gone. And watch the podcast, okay? Stay connected. But we've seen incredible growth, and just since our averages in October of 800, we've hit 1,000 or higher three times in the last 6 weeks. So we've grown again another over 200 in just the last 4 months. But here's the thing. All those numbers are great. We celebrate numbers, but that's not the win. The win is moving people in their devotion to Jesus. That's all we're here to do. We're not here to grow in numbers. But guess what? When we do what God's called us to do, He will bring increase. Check out the growth in our kids. Look at this. This is crazy. In the last year, we saw that other bell curve, but look at the spike in the fall. That means in February, some soldiers came back home and started building babies. Like, we grew in kids. We over doubled in our kids' reach last year alone. Man, I love what God's doing here, and I want to be careful that we're not just celebrating numbers, and other people can see that on the surface, but the fact is, every number represents a human and a person whose life is being changed. Come on, somebody say amen. Our mission's always been clear and plain. It's not to grow a church full of people who like their pastor's red sweater. Our mission is to lead people in their devotion to Jesus. And as we do that, as we stay committed to that and truly be about changed lives, then the stories continuously come in. Stories of marriages that have been repaired or undergoing repair because God changes lives. Stories of people who grew up in religious homes but finally met Jesus and began to follow Him personally because God changes lives. We've had countless stories of people who thought they were good people, moral people, grew up in church, left at 18 and thought, I'm good, I'm ready to go, only to find that their good works couldn't save them, but Jesus can, and that God changes lives. We've had stories of whether it's a board member who says, every year I'm learning more about Jesus than ever in my whole life growing up in church, or the soldier whose only prayer to God was ever, Lord, don't let me die today. Now we have people who are experiencing life change, and consistently we are a church about changed lives. We had a story of a young man I met when I first came here. I met him in the county jail. He made a bad decision as an 18-year-old kid, put him in jail on a felony charge. His whole family started coming here, and I got to meet him and encourage him regularly. We'd come out every few weeks or so to meet with him, give him a Bible and books to read, and say, stay close to Jesus. How's your prayer life? What are you reading in the scripture? And I only met the kid across a glass television monitor. But I started meeting with him and talking to him, and literally he started thinking about coming to Life Point Church, but his sentence was years, 8 to 12 years, and then God did a miracle, and he literally got out of jail years early, and now he's a part of his church here with his whole family, and he's serving God because God changes lives. Hallelujah. There are so many stories like these, and it's exciting to celebrate growth, but that's not the win. Our win is life change. Our win is moving people in their devotion. Let me just ask, how many of you around the room have been blessed, challenged, or experienced spiritual growth and life change since being a part of your church? Man, just look at this. God is changing lives here. I love it. There's so many stories like these. That's why we're here. So that's where we've been. And listen, if our past is indicative of our future, holy smokes, it's going to be fun, right? This is a fast-growing thing that God's doing, but not only is he growing us fast, but I believe God's growing us deep. God's growing us in our devotion to him, our commitment to scripture and biblical living, and to one another as a church. So where are we now? Second part I want to give you in our talk. And this is where it's going to get a little heady for you maybe, and we're going to present our financial report in this part of our service. But I believe as a church, we are definitely making an impact now. I got to be honest, we are blessed as a church. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We're able to give more now than ever. I remember coming here and having to answer the phone for missionaries and go, I'd love to give something to you, but literally we're not even paying our own bills. And now we're giving, and you're going to see our missions impact our giving. We're able to give more now than ever. We're partnered with more ministries now than ever. We're leading more groups. We're discipling more people. We're counseling more couples. We are blessing more organizations. We're seeing more unchurched people come to faith in Jesus than ever before. And this is a great part of our service. I love to tell you, I love that we get to acknowledge our current realities. And I want to be transparent with what's happening now. I've always said this, and I say it in our 101 class. If you have any questions, we'll answer them. Whatever you want to ask, we'll tell you, because it's your church. Let me say this with confidence. We are making an impact now. God is using this church for his glory, and all of our staff, our teams, they're all seeing it too. I had all of our team leaders give a quick report about how their ministries are doing, and every one of them reported health, which, by the way, that's the goal in ministries and in church. We want to see healthy leaders, healthy ministries, healthy churches. You know why? Because healthy things grow. We don't want to see growing things. You can grow unhealthy stuff, but we want to see healthy things grow. In our kid point, you saw on the graphic there, but our kid point doubled last year. We had 13 kids baptized. We're hoping for a whole lot more than that this year. But numerous families who started coming because their kids dragged them to church. It's a trick, see? We're now seeing special needs kids come to our church for the first time in our history, and we're able to give them specific ministry and release the parents to minister to others. In fact, in our new building scheme, listen, our kids' ministry grew so much, we're building them a whole building. And in the plans for that, there's a whole room dedicated to special needs ministry. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? Our life groups are doing more now than ever. We have, it's estimated in our population, about 60% of our adults participating in life groups, as well as our whole student ministry is running through life groups as well. Let me just say this. We celebrate 60%, but that means 40% of you are slackers. That's right. I ain't got nothing to lose but to be honest with you. That means 40% of you are missing out on the best thing that we do here as a church. It's like going to a buffet and not going to the dessert table. When they got a chocolate fountain, Rice Krispie treats, pie, ice cream, why would you go eat salad and not that stuff? I ate salad so that I can have this stuff. If you're not in a life group, you are absolutely missing out on the best thing we do as a church. I want you here on Sundays, but even more than that, I want you in a life group. But we're growing. In fact, we have 24 groups that are running now, and our hopes this year are to double that. I don't know if I told our leadership that. Our worship ministry has grown so much under Justin Fox and his wife and their leadership. Come on, can we agree to that? Let's give it up. He's humble. He's like, come on. But we have great and dedicated musicians, consistency. They grew into four services better and faster than all of us. And they've also seen greater devotion to Jesus as a team. There's accountability amongst their team. They have devotion as a team. They're solid. Pastor Pop, if you don't know, he is seeing great growth and help in all of our logistic team, from ushers, first responders, prayer team, maintenance team. Also our DOD, which is dedicated to our defenders. They are doing so stinking great. I just love our team dedicated to our defenders. They just sent out 35 care packages to soldiers deployed. Man, praise God for that. Can we just celebrate that? Hallelujah. Yes. Of course, our dream team and our LifePoint University are consistently growing and helping more and more people live in God's plan for their lives. I looked on our roster this week, and I saw that we've seen over 550 people go through our LifePoint University in the last year and a half. And we work really hard to try to find them a place to serve on our dream team. If you're not part of our dream team or haven't gone through LPU, get on it. Join a group, go through LPU, get on a team. We're trying to just give you all the goods here, okay? Let's get on it. So far, it's pretty exciting, right? Hello?
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, we're about to change lives. And with that, I want to introduce our board treasurer, who's going to give you a real-time picture of how our finances shaped up for 2013. And of course, this is part of our annual business meeting requirements to have this business meeting. And I just want to do it on a Sunday because it's your money. It's the money God's given you for us to steward. And so we celebrate that. Hey, would you give it up for the one and only Ed Ogletree?
Get out of the way. Yes. Oh, okay. Thank you, Pastor. Well, I'm excited. Can't you tell? Well, I am. I'm really excited at what God's doing. He has blessed us. And I've never been through anything like this before, and it's just phenomenal to me. But anyway, I'm up here to give the financial report. And if you guys will put the first slide up, and I'll just go through it here quickly. This is actually for the income, and I'm going to give you 2013 versus what it was 2012. As you can see, for 2013, we had $841,689 come in. And you can see the increase from 2012, which was $472,985. Amazing. If you look at our impact giving, which is our tithing that we tithe off of our income, this past year, it was $52,878, and the year before, it was $41,359. So we're increasing as we're going, as we moving up in our finances. Next slide, please. As you can see, there are six categories up here, and this is also actually set up for our bookkeeping purposes, and I will go through each category, and five of these are the expenses, and one of them actually is our savings account. Building and operations, we had expenditures of $234,525. That includes our loan payment, maintenance, repair, utilities, and services. Administrative is nothing more than our salaries, which include $219,309. And impact, which is our tithing, was $52,878. And I've asked Pastor if he would elaborate a little more on this because, one, we teach tithing here, but he can better explain it, why we do what we do.
Well, if you go back to the previous screen, Faith, you'll see that our total income was $840,000 and we tithed, gave $54,000. Now, that's not a true tenth. Why is that? Because your pastor's a liar. You're welcome to say that and think that. Here's the deal. The year before, we just gave whenever somebody asked, or what we were doing was robbing Peter to pay Paul. We were overextending ourselves in our generosity. We had no system for giving to impact. And so, at the beginning of 2013, we got on a budget, which gave us a system and a structure to give specifically to the area of impact. So here's what we do. We believe in good stewardship practices, and part of that is we always want to live on less than what comes in. And I encourage that in your personal lives, in your home. You should give to God, give to yourself, and then live on 80% or less of your income. It's just smart. That way you're never out of money, right? Yes, I'm right. So every quarter, because of our growth, our fast growth, every quarter the board will review the income trend from the last 3 months and determine a new average income. Okay, so then what we do is we take 90% of that trend and write a budget on that number, becoming our new 100%. So let me give you an example. So let's say at the second quarter, we look back over the first quarter, and we see that our three-month average income is $50,000, just round numbers, right? So we look at 50 grand, and we go, what's 90% of 50,000? $45,000. So what we do is we say, well, we're going to write a budget to do all ministry, impact giving, pay personnel and buildings on that figure of 45,000. So that 45,000 becomes our new 100%. Does that make sense? And that looks at 10% of that goes to impact, 20% goes to ministries like Kid Point, youth ministry, DOD, whatever, and then 35 and 35 goes to building and administration and personnel costs. Does that make sense? So it gives us structure now and parameters, but here's what happens. When you live on less than you bring in, everything over that goes into savings. Well, we had an incredible growth year in our income. So we're living on a budget that's 90%, and then you guys were giving and obeying God in your generosity and giving, and our church grew, and the money just went way beyond that additional 10%, 15, sometimes 20% over budget. But then we said, well, we're going to live on a budget, because we don't want to be irresponsible. We're going to spend less than we budget anyway. And so anyway, that 90% becomes our new 100, and then we always live on less than we bring in, and we always put anything above that 90% straight into savings, and we get to use it for marginal expenses or unbudgeted items. So the truth is, and I'm not saying the other things were a lie, we tithe to impact as the first 10% of our budget. Does that make sense? Which is built on 90% of our trending income. Okay? Now listen, the reason this is smart is you never run tight. Like, I never have to look at our kid point director and say, you can't buy graham crackers because we've reached our limit. When you're living on 90% of your income, you've always got that margin on the top. And here's what happened in 2013. The giving increased so much, we actually, to build this building, had to write a check for $100,000 to get the loan. That's because no banks would touch us, by the way. I had to almost give my blood to get a loan for the kids. So we were able, though, because of all that margin on the top, to write $100,000, 5 zeros on that check. I said, put a decimal and 2 more zeros, just so there's more zeros. I just wanted to see. I've never gotten to sign a check that large, but it's because of all that marginal room on the top. Does that make sense? So our impact designated funds is actually the first tenth off of our budget, not our income, because that number can fluctuate. So what do you do when you're living at 100% and then the money comes in and it's less? I got to call missionaries and go, sorry, we can't pay you. Or we go, sorry, kids, no goldfish or gluten-free asbestos salt. I don't know what we feed gluten-free people. You know what I'm saying? Is that even a thing? So the truth is, we tithe to impact all of last year. Every month, the first tenth of our budget went to missionaries, church planters, and nonprofit organizations that are part of our impact connection. But the tithe comes off the budgeted figure, not the actual income, which allows our income, our impact giving to be consistent while leaving room for fluctuation on the top. Does that make sense? So your pastor's not a liar, but your board is really smart. That's why we did it that way. All right, Ed, come on back.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's continue on. I'd like to have the second slide back up there, please. Okay, if you'll see, ministries was $89,244, which includes your DOD, hospitality, Kid Point, life groups, and your media. Special projects was $36,167, includes the block party, Kid Point check-in system. That's a system we bought for the check-in for the kids for our Kid Point. Some computers we had to purchase, kitchen renovations, that nature. And the savings, which is not an expense, but we can draw from it, like what we had to do for our new building out here, we had to take $100,000 out, which left us at the end of the year $131,455, which I think is great. Next slide, please. Now, this is our impact giving broken down in categories. And as you see, we have local, which is $9,175. Which includes our Manor Cafe, local Chi Alpha, and U.S. Chi Alpha. United States, we spent $7,250, which is for the Free International Youth and Youth for Missions. Church Planters, $16,875, which plants churches across the United States, which will include places like Boston, L.A., Houston, and throughout the Colorado area. And last but not least, the International, which is our missionaries that we support throughout the world. $16,950, and it would include Central America, Europe, Muslim nations, and Asia. If you have any questions, please see me afterwards. I'll try to explain. Pastor?
So, all of this points to the fact that we've got some great health happening. I love the savings figure doesn't include the 100 grand we had to write and check. Like, God's just providing for what he wants to happen here. Man, I love it here. I love the fact that we're a healthy church. I love that we're a generous church. There's stuff that we give away that's not finances that you guys don't even know about. The soccer club out there, man, I saw on Thursday, that soccer field was crowded with kids everywhere. We built parking just for them, and they never gave us a buck. They've never given this church a dollar, and there are hundreds of kids that get to practice out there on a safe field every week. That's part of our giving that we're just making in the community. Last week, we had a homeschool co-op meeting here. They're everywhere, all over the building, and we don't charge them for that. We just give it. Why? Because we're generous, and we want to be faithful in that stuff. We're a growing church, a healthy church, and we've got so much to celebrate. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about where we're going, and dream big with you for impact? How many of you willing to make big dreams with me? How many of you willing to take a risk? Come on now. I think so far we've moved at a very safe pace, and God's brought growth and stability and health to our church, and it's time to take some risks. Did you say careful? No way. I love our church, and I love what God's doing here. In John 14, he said, if you believe in me, then you'll do the works I did and even greater. And I don't think there's an end to what greater works looks like. As long as there's one more lost person in this world that needs Jesus, as long as there was one more family that needs counseling, as long as there was one more kid that needs food, we got more work to do. Amen? And how many of you know we partner with every church that follows Jesus Christ in this whole world and city to make an impact in this world? He said even greater things than he did we will do. We've got 150,000 people in this city, and there's not enough churches yet in this city to have all the people in church on a Sunday. So we have got to believe God for greater things. You know, in Genesis, we read about Joseph, who was a dreamer. What was unfortunate for Joseph is that those right around him would not dream with him. I want to invite you to dream big with me. Dream big with our staff. Join me in just looking to God and saying, Lord, what would you have us do here? In Acts chapter 2, we see this incredible passage. And any of you guys with AG Roots, you know this passage well. In Acts chapter 2, it says in verse 17, this is Peter the apostle preaching his first big sermon after the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit now comes to be with the church and dwell in us and empower us forever. And Peter says this in Acts chapter 2, in the last days it shall be, declares the Lord. Now here's what God is saying it's going to be like. How many of you know if he says it, he ain't a liar? God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Notice he didn't say, and the old men prophets will prophesy. He said, in the last days, all of y'all are going to be prophesying. What's the word of the prophet? Repent and submit your life to Jesus. It's the message of impact. He said, your young men shall see visions. Yes. And your old men will dream dreams. Yes. Listen, either God's a liar or this stuff is going to happen. This stuff should be happening. As his spirit is poured out on us, we should be dreaming big, taking risks, having visions of what God wants to do in this world. He said, even on my male servants, my female servants, old, young, daughters, sons, all of you are going to be prophesying, dreaming, and having visions. Then he said in verse 21, and it will come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, that is why we do impact. For the salvation of everyone who will call on the name of the Lord. And I'm just asking you to join me in stinking dreaming big. Take a risk. Jump off and just go for it. Get out of the boat, Peter. Get out on the water and start walking with Jesus and start trusting him for big things. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but it excites me to death that God still cares about people coming to him. It really rattles me that God is still at work, pouring out his Holy Spirit on all of us and changing lives and saving people and doing miracles and giving us big dreams. And I think that we as a church should plead with God about our role in all of it. How is he calling you? What is God asking you to do? Some of you are sitting there right now going, well, the pastor's getting real excited. He's got a lot of work to do. No, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got to dream bigger. We've got to have bigger vision than our eyeballs can even see. And I want to invite you to dream big with me to make an impact in this city and around the world. Maybe God wants you to give more to impact. I love meeting rich people because I go, maybe God's calling you to give more to his kingdom work. What are you going to take with you to heaven anyway? Your Bentley or your butt naked self? Bible says naked we come in and naked we go out. It's a weird funeral. That joke works every time. It never gets old. What else would God bless you with more stuff? You're a five-talent guy. Use it for the kingdom of God. Maybe God wants you to give more, serve more, do more. Maybe he wants you to give your life to serving unreached people, or start as a church planter, or go to another country. Maybe the Lord wants you to quit your job and just start living among people who are far from him. Maybe God's calling you to pray more. Did you know that Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send in laborers. If you go to your job every day and you go, this is a daggum bunch of heathens all around here. I'm going in my Holy Ghost cubicle, and I hope none of them rub off on me. You better pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into that harvest field. And guess who he may have sent? I wish God would send some laborers around here. And God's going, I did, sucker, you. You roll up on Fort Campbell and you go, Lord, don't let any of this rub off on me. Are you joking me? You better pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send you and other laborers. Would you dream big? Can you imagine? Listen to me. Can we as a church begin to dream that every human being that goes to work at Fort Campbell would serve Jesus? Let me ask you this. Do you think God would want that? Why don't we want that? Are you kidding? Why don't we pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers there, to send us there, to cause us to open our mouths and start rewriting the spiritual history of that place? What about your job? What about your neighborhood, your family? Why don't we dream big? Look, we're not into just growing a big group of people in a church on Sunday. We're about lives changed. So I want to invite you to dream big with me and ask God, Lord, where are you taking me? Where do you want me to go? And if the last 3.5 years are an indication of anything coming, we got a really big future, a really healthy future. And I just got to say, it's going to be really fun around here. I don't want to go to church that ain't fun. Anybody? Who would like it not fun? Hey, you, stop having fun down there. In the name of Jesus. So as your lead pastor, I get to dream bigger than all of you, and I want to ask you to join me. Help me. Dream with me. Let's do this. Let's take a risk. I believe the best is yet to come, that our future's bright, and that heaven will be more populated because of the work that this church and other churches in this town will do. Can you imagine, like, if we get our own neighborhood in heaven? Because, like, that's the Life Point Church neighborhood over there. I would love to live in the same neighborhood with most of you. Hey, now. All them Gator fans got to be in another neighborhood. I'm just saying. We'll take your wife, but you got to move. When I start stirring and thinking about what God wants to do and what his heart is, and I go, what are we doing to partner with the heart of Jesus? Does that not excite you? Golly, it just drives me. So let me give you some bullet point big ideas that I have for our church. I've held a lot of these close to the chest. I've shared them in smaller meetings before, but let me just share with you some of my immediate and long-term dreams for our church. Is that cool? I want desperately more than anything that we would be a church full. Got that part? This is not just expression when I go full of people. I mean full. I want bursting at the seams, 7 services. I want like force to build. I want full. I want people having to wait in the parking lot. I want standing room only, full of people who are hungry for Jesus, who are after their lives being fully devoted to Christ, with a commitment to a Bible-centered life, with a commitment to prayer as normal, to raising our kids to know Jesus, to be a church that's so stinking generous, people have to turn away our generosity and go, we got enough. I want us to be a church full of healthy families and healthy people and people just devoted to Jesus. Look, you don't have to be perfect. He will be. But God just wants you to be devoted. He didn't say be perfect. We go, well, I'm not fully devoted until I'm perfect. No, he'll be perfect. You just be devoted. Any of you had a devoted coworker that's terrible at Excel? Like they're just awful at Word Excel or documentation, but they're devoted, man. They're full in. God don't need you perfect. He wants you devoted. My hope is that we'd just be a church full of those kind of people from all walks of life, different backgrounds, religions, lifestyle choices, sin, all kinds of sin backgrounds, and all of us going, you know what, we're walking one step closer in our full devotion to Jesus every week, and I want us busting at the seams with folks who are just desperate to get their hands on Jesus. My dream is that we double our amount of impact partners in the next 12 to 18 months. I dare you to do it. I dare you to do it. That we would double the amount of missionaries we support, double the amount of church planters that we're supporting in the next 12 months. Right now, we have 35 impact partners with deep levels of commitment. I would love to see that at 70 next year when we bring this meeting. I'd love to see every state in the United States being touched with a church planter that Life Point Church supports. You want to reach America? Just plant more churches. Let's do it. I dare you to get big, just out of the box, crazy big dreams. Right now, we as a board and staff and me, I'm really working now to aggressively grow our leadership team and staff in order to lead the massive growth that God's bringing us. I believe God has a future for LifePoint Church in the thousands. I don't know how else to say it. I don't mean to look apologetic. I just go, God, you're scaring me, man. Bring the team to lead it. We're going to finish our Kid Point building, and we'll outgrow it in 3 to 5 months. Whoops. Is that not exciting to anybody else? Like, I'll do 7 services in a weekend. I just don't think you guys will. We're going to have to grow a bigger space, right? So that means after we finish our our Kid Point space, we're immediately going to have to start looking down the road at how to build a new sanctuary and a new lobby. How many of you hate being overcrowded, elbows touching, lobby passing through? Yeah. See, I got all this space up here. I'm fine. But our next phase, we're already meeting with an architect to help us design our next phase, and we got to pay for that stuff. But I believe everything God wants to pay for, he'll pay for it as we just get faithful in tithing. If we start there and let that be the floor, not the ceiling, and just be generous people, what are you going to take with you anyway? But I believe our future is going to include a new sanctuary of at least 1,000 seats and a huge lobby and common space for you to connect between services and during the week and have some breathing room. Let me add that any building we build is not a monument, it's just a tool. I'm not into building monuments or shrines or cathedrals or chapels like for the glory of the building. It's a tool to reach more people. You got to buy a bigger car when you get a bigger family. Right? I'm hoping to start a satellite campus on the moon in 2018. Can I get a campus pastor? Somebody want to float around up there for a little while? Amen. Gravity. That was a movie recently came out. Okay. Just want to check and see if you're listening. Got a couple more things. We're going to finish. We are really considering a multi-site future. Did you hear me? We are really considering a multi-site future. This building we've reached capacity in 4 services. We need the kids building, and we'll hit capacity at 1,500. That's with 4 services. I'll do 5. I'll do 6. I don't care. Like, I work here. It's fun for me. But we'll reach capacity in this facility, and I believe I want us to consider a multi-site future where we're strategically planting additional campus or venues to impact the city and the surrounding areas, places like Springfield, Ashland City, wherever, Aaron, Tennessee, North Clark. You know, we got like 30% of our church comes from the Exit 1 area. What if we just brought it to them? You don't seem as excited as me. I love it. Man. And then in our immediate future, let me just give you a heads up as to what we're doing like in 6 weeks. It's a little day called Easter. And it's historically been the biggest day of our year. And we know that folks come to church on Easter that don't come any other time. And I want you to bless their face off of their head. I want you to overwhelm them with the impactful love of Jesus so much that they cannot wait to get back here. And so on Easter Sunday, we're planning on 16 to 1,800 people coming through our church, which means we don't have room for all that. And so on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, we're starting a brand new series called Basic. And it's going to take us back to basic training. We're going to get this bunny back to basics. And we're going to start a series on basic training on the life of basic habits of a healthy believer. And we're going to start over with basic questions and basic things that all of us need to know. And on Easter Sunday, I'm going to tell the basic story of Jesus Christ and his offering of salvation. And I want you to invite people like crazy. But here's what we're going to do. On Saturday night, we're going to have a service for all of our home folks, like Dream Teamers and everybody that will be serving only on Easter. So your Easter service will be Saturday night at 5 or 6 o'clock. And I know you're like, I'm not going to church on Saturday night. We need you to come on Saturday night because we want you to serve 2, 3, and 4. You may serve 5 services on Sunday morning on Easter Sunday. Why? Because it's not about you. It's about those who are coming, those who are missing, those who need Jesus. And Easter Sunday, we're doing 5 1-hour services so that we can reach more people and make an impact in our community. We're going to have worship, communion, and a sermon. We're going to have a kids' carnival outside because we don't have enough room for that many dang kids. So we're going to throw a big party outside and have inflatables and animals and ice cream sandwiches for everybody that comes. Isn't that awesome? Man, I'm so tired of Easter eggs. Get those stupid jelly beans out of my face. I want some ice cream. So we need your help. Easter's coming. We'll have these graphics in your hand in the next 2 weeks. We'll have a banner on the building for our Easter service times. But listen, everything we do at this church is about leading people in their devotion to Jesus. And man, we're doing it in a healthy way. We're doing it in an ethical way. God's blessing this church. And our job is to dream big and stink and go for it. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me and pray?